Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
January 3rd, 2006. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, learning the histogram. Well, thanks for joining me. I hope you all had a great holiday season and enjoyed your new year. We're back in a brand new year. It's very exciting, 2006. We're full of hope and hoping that it's going to be a good year for all of us taking pictures and recording audio and shooting video and all that stuff that we like to do. So I thought we'd get off on a good footing here with talking about something that actually came up in reader mail. I've been getting lots of good suggestions, by the way, and keep them coming in. And if I don't get to yours right away, know that I have it on a list. I keep all of the mail, and I actually build a little list of podcast topics, and we'll just kind of just keep going right down it and working on these things. Every suggestion that I get is actually pretty good. Sometimes I can take a couple suggestions and sort of meld them into one show. So if I don't address a topic right away, that's probably because I have an idea of how to work it in with some other topics. And we'll be talking about that stuff up the road. But today we're talking about learning histograms. I'm going to start with looking at the histogram on the camera. And then I'm actually going to talk a little bit about how to use it in your favorite image editor, which more often than not is going to be some form of Photoshop, whether it's CS, the professional version, actually CS2 these days, or Elements. Either way, both applications have a levels control where you get to look at a histogram and make some tonal adjustments. Before I get to the histogram itself, though, I just want to mention a couple things. You're not surprised, I'm sure. First of all, I got lots of mail on this idea of doing the monthly photography assignment. So we're going to go for it. I think it's a great idea. The first one is going to be for the month of January. And the way that this is going to work is that there'll be a theme. A lot of times it'll just be one or two words because I want to leave things open to interpretation. And this month's theme for January 2006 is going to be ice. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that you have to photograph a block of ice. It could be anything. It could be frost on a leaf. It could be a big chunk of ice. It could be a frozen pond. It could be, you name it. It could be all sorts of things. So don't limit yourself in your interpretation. I want to keep things sort of open. And the way that's going to work is that during the month of January until the very end, you can send your submission. And again, let's do it the same way that we do grab shots. In other words, you can just look at if you click on the submission button in Digital Story Site, and you'll see grab shots versus, you know, keep it like 400 pixels wide and, you know, a few things like that. Attach it to an email and send it to me. Let's do it that same way. And in the subject line, you can just do photo assignment, ice, and then you can put your name if you want. Send me your interpretation of it. At the end of January, close off ice, no more. And I'll go through them and we'll pick, probably two or three or so. It kind of depends on what comes in. It could be more, could be less. And I will list them with the information about the photograph. So, you know, send me, one of the nice things about grab shots, people really been getting the hang of this. They send me a few lines that sort of describe why they took the shot and a little bit about what's going on, and then maybe send me a little bit about their camera and, you know, just kind of give me a little information to go with it. And let's do the same thing on the photo assignment, why you took it and what you're trying to do and how you did it. Doesn't have to be five paragraphs, but it'd be nice to have a paragraph or at least a few sentences. And I'll use that information when I list the winners. And then we'll start the February assignment and we'll do the same thing. It'll be something different. It could be like red or something like that. We'll decide. But let's start with ice. Start thinking about what you want to do. Start taking those shots. You have till the end of January. The sooner the better, of course. And off we go. And we'll have a lot of fun. And if you have a website or a personal site, make sure you send me that information because I want a link to it if you're one of the shots that we show. And we'll just keep doing this month after month, and we'll keep working on it. I'm going to work on it too. So even though I live in Northern California, I can't go outside and shoot ice. So there, you see, I have to be more creative myself. And we'll have a great time with this. So photo assignment is on. We're going to do it. And I'll post more information about it in the show notes. So make sure you check it out and go for it. In the meantime, keep those grab shots coming in. They're great. I really am enjoying this feature, and I hope you are too. And obviously, keep sending me your suggestions. All right, let's talk about histogram. Now, almost every camera has a function, the ability that when you review the shots, that you can look at it a couple different ways. When I say almost every camera, I mean camera where you would care to even look at a histogram, which would be sophisticated compact or advanced amateur model or digital SLR. Now, the way that the histogram function usually works is that you have options when you play the images on your LCD viewfinder on your camera. You can just look at the image itself with no information. A lot of times there's like an in-between mode that will show you frame number and maybe some basic metadata, such as when you took it or the ISO, something like that. And then there's usually the third option, which is the heavy-duty info option. And a lot of times in this option, you can actually even look at a histogram of your shot. And what is a histogram? Well, a histogram is a scale, more or less. It's a graph. It's a graphical representation of the lights and darks and middle tones of your photograph. Now, on the left side of this shape, and a lot of times it can be like a mountain shape, it can be a valley shape. It sort of depends on, you know, what tones you have in your photograph. And we'll sort of work through that as I talk about it here. But on the left side of this shape are the dark tones. Okay, so that's your shadow detail. On the far right side of the graph are your highlights, the bright parts of your image. And then everything in between is some form of gray, you know, some form of the grayscale. Now, when you're taking pictures, the histogram actually can be very helpful in terms of figuring out if you have a good exposure or not. As we all know, you can be fooled by the image on the monitor, especially when you're out in bright sun. You can take a shot, and then you can be out in the bright sun and you know, looking at it on your monitor, on your LCD screen, on the back of your camera. And it's hard to tell if you have a great exposure or not in bright sunlight because you have all this reflective light bouncing off your monitor and, you know, you're squinting and it can be really difficult. But the histogram isn't affected by any of that. And so you can look at the histogram and determine if you have a good exposure or not, even if you couldn't see the image on the LCD monitor itself, just by looking at the histogram, you can tell if you have, you know, something that's in the ballpark. Now, how does that work? Well, It works like this. Basically, if you have information spread across the entire spectrum of the histogram, generally speaking, you have a good exposure. That means you have information in the dark area, through the middle tones, and in the highlight area. And we're moving left to right here. Now, if all the information, if your graph is all kind of scrunched up on the left side there, and or let's say that it's from the middle over to the left, and you don't have anything on the right side. It's just clear, and so your mountain has basically scooted to the left, or scooched, as you hear sometimes. Maybe you don't hear it. Some people in my family say that. Of course, they say all sorts of things that I put near, things like that, that probably shouldn't use in a radio show because no one will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so it's all kind of moved over to the left side. That means you have an underexposed shot. That means most of the information in the shot is either in the middle tones or the dark area, but you don't have much happening in the highlight area. So right away you can tell, you should do a little exposure compensation so that you can get a better exposure. And the way that you normally would do that, there's all sorts of different ways. The way that I would do it, I would just go to my exposure compensation scale, right, which should be easy to get to on your camera. And let's say, let's go to move it to +1, which means that you're going to overexpose the scene a little bit. And that will move that information more to the right. Now, on the other hand, if you take the shot and all the information is from the middle over to the right side, and you don't have anything represented on the left, you have an overexposed shot. It's too bright. Okay? It's too hot. You don't have any good shadow detail in the shot. And this is the case, then, to compensate for that, then, you would underexpose the shot a little bit to, you know, go to -1, let's say, as a starting point on your scale, to spread that information or to move that information a little bit to the left. Now, the neat thing about having a histogram on your camera is that you can take a shot, look at the histogram, try your exposure compensation or however you want to adjust the shot, and then look at the next shot and its histogram to see if it moved in the direction that you thought it would. And really, it should move in the direction that you thought it would, or one of us is wrong here. But I think probably more accurately to say, did it move far enough in the direction that you want? Was overexposing by +1 enough? Do you need to do by +1.5? Do you even need to overexpose by 2 stops to get that histogram kind of a nice shape that takes up the whole area of the graph? Now, this sounds, of course, as I talk about it, this sounds, you know, like complicated, but it's really not. It's funny. Once you get the hang of it, this goes really fast. And actually, it's a lot faster than trying to figure out by looking at the image itself if you have a decent exposure, because it's just, boom, it's right there. It's been black and white. You know, either all the information's over to the left, or it's over to the right, or it's spread throughout. Now, if it's spread throughout, even if it's not a perfect exposure, it does tell you that you have information all through the whole tonal scale, so chances are you can make it a very good exposure later on in Photoshop or whatever you use. I mean, you have a chance because you got information spread all across the scale. So, and then of course, you know, there's refinements of that, spread a little bit one way, spread a little bit, you know, with emphasis to the right or emphasis to the left. And then, you know, the thing is, then you start corresponding what you see on the graph to what you see outside. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if you're shooting this time of year a snow scene, okay, and you expose it properly. Let's say you take a picture of someone skiing, and you expose it properly. Now, when you really think about this, this is going to be a time where you should have a lot of information over to the right, correct? It's a very bright scene, okay? So you should have information kind of stacked up to the right. Now, if you have someone skiing in the shot or you have a tree or something, then that would represent some of the darker tones, and you should have some of that information showing on your scale. But this is a case where you don't necessarily want the information spread evenly across the histogram in a bright scene, because actually that would tell you that the shot is underexposed. See what I'm saying here? True. If you're shooting a landscape on a beautiful day with a blue sky and green grass and all that sort of stuff, you should pretty much have information spread evenly across the histogram because you have all those tones. But if you're in a really bright situation, then you'll learn that the information should be kind of stacked up to the right of the histogram because it is a bright scene. Okay. And if it isn't stacked up on the right, or if it at least isn't leaning toward the right, then you've probably underexposed the shot. So if it isn't kind of stacked up to the right there, then you need to add some exposure compensation. And we all know that when you're shooting sand, snow, things like that, you usually have to add at least plus one. But most of the time, I find myself adding plus two stops to get those brights bright, because your camera's meter, its inclination is to make everything, you know, in the middle tones. That's what it wants to do. It wants to expose so that, you know, you have good middle tones, which works a lot. But it doesn't work when you're standing out on the side of a snowy mountain. Okay, then you don't want everything in the middle, because that's dull snow, right? That's the kind of snow that you get in late March that's all muddy and gunky and stuff. Nobody likes that snow. Now, we all like the snow that's freshly fallen in December, not that late March stuff. And this is the same way when you take pictures of snow. You don't want that late March snow on your shot, that icky stuff. You want, you know, nice, crisp, white snow. And that means stacked up to the right. Now, by the same token, if you're shooting a dark scene, let's say a moody interior, right? And you want it to be kind of dark, then when you look at the histogram for that shot, it should be kind of stacked to the left, right? Because most of the tones in the shot are dark. And again, if you want those dark tones, if you want that moody scene indoors, and you look at the histogram and the tones are spread evenly throughout, then, you know, chances are, you know, you have a bad exposure. Okay. You know, you've overexposed the shot then. And you need to go to minus one or minus two to darken that shot, to move that information over to the left, because most of the tones that you see are dark. So most of the tones on the histogram should be dark too. Obviously, if you have a subject in the middle of this that's wearing a white shirt, which sounds kind of difficult to photograph, but let's say you were, then, you know, those tones need to be represented too. And you should have over on the right side of your histogram some information there representing that white shirt. Chances are, though, if the whole thing is overexposed or the exposure is wrong, then that part will be wrong too. So this is the kind of scene where a correct histogram reading would be more information over to the left, because you want it dark. And so the exercise to do is practice taking pictures in different types of scenes. Look at the histogram, okay? Compare it to what you see on the LCD monitor. And then remember that and play with it. And then maybe make some exposure adjustments, you know, going plus one or plus two, to overexpose, in other words, to brighten up a scene, or going -1, -2 to underexpose or to darken up a dark scene. And start to kind of try to remember how, when you get the shot the way that you want it, what does that corresponding histogram look like? And you'll find that very quickly, you'll be able to judge a shot just by looking at this graph on your camera without even looking at the shot itself. It's really kind of cool, and it's really a lot of fun. And I tell you, there's a certain kind of confidence that comes being able to do that, being able to look at that histogram and know that, you know, you have the right exposure. I think, first of all, it makes me feel kind of smart that I even know anything about this. And then second of all, I feel good because I feel like when I open up the shot on the computer, that if it isn't exactly what I want, it's going to be close enough to where with some minor adjustments, I can make it what I want. So let's segue into the computer. Now, you get to look at histograms in your image editor, too. Usually, you find it through the levels command. That's the easiest place. And I'm going to limit today's conversation to talking about the levels command. Now, you have levels in Photoshop Elements, and you have levels in Photoshop CS, too. And you have it in most other image editors, too. And most often, it works the same way. So you pull up your shot and you look at the histogram in levels, and it will tell you, it will show you again kind of what's going on. Now I have a shot right here on my screen right now, and it has a lot of white area in it, or what should be white. And I'm looking at the histogram, and it's kind of scooched over to the left, the information, and there's a big gap from about, on the right side, there's a big gap there. Now, I know that there are whites in the shot that I have, and I'll put a sample on the site so you can see it. And I know that I'm missing a bright information. So here's the easy way to do levels adjustment using the histogram in Photoshop, is that you have three pointers. You have the highlights pointer on the right side, and you have the shadow detail pointer on the left, and you have the grayscale in the middle. So all you have to do is look at your histogram, look at the edges of it, move the white pointer, that's the one on the right side, move it to the left until it touches the edge of your histogram, your mountain. Same thing with the shadow detail. Take that dark pointer over on the left side, slide it to the right until it touches the edge of the histogram there. So now what you've said is that you're going to have tonal information throughout the whole spectrum. You're not going to have any gaps. Okay, the highlight pointer is up against the right side of the mountain, and the shadow detail pointer is against the left side of the mountain. Now, the last step is, in your levels control, is to move that middle pointer, the gray one, either to the left or right, depending on what looks best to you, to sort of adjust the midtones. And you can do that by eye, you know, whatever looks best to you. Once you get it the way that you want, click OK, and you've now used the histogram to help you make a very good exposure adjustment on your image. Now, if you were to open up the levels control again after making that adjustment, I'll do this right now here. I'm going to brighten it up, and I'm going to move my shadow detail a little bit there. Oh, that looks, gosh, sometimes, you know, you do this and it just looks so much better. And then I'm making a grayscale adjustment now. Okay, so now I have my pointers, my left and right pointers up against the edge of the histogram, and I've made a little bit of adjustment in the middle. I'm going to click OK. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up levels again, and let's see how that histogram has changed from when I originally opened it. So I open up levels again, and indeed, I have information spread across the whole spectrum. In other words, the white pointer is touching the edge of the mountain, and the left pointer of the shadow detail is touching the left side. But the shape of the mountain has changed, right? And there are some lines, white lines running through my mountain that weren't there before. And that's missing information in the tonal scale. Now, if it's not too bad, if you don't have too many of those, it's something that I wouldn't worry about too much. But I'll show you, there's a trick. There's a trick to fixing that. And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to tell you that trick right now. I can't show it to you. It's not a video cast. So I'll just click cancel right now on that levels control. I'm not going to worry about it. I do have some missing information. I do have some missing lines in my mountain there, some white lines. And I'm going to go up. I'm in Photoshop. I'm going to go up to Image. I'm going to go to Image Size, which allows me to resample the image, to change the number of pixels that are actually in it. And right now, my width is 2304 pixels. And the height is 3456, so it's a vertical shot. And I'm just going to change the width from 2304 to 2200. Okay, so I'm just going to sample it down just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm not going to make any other changes. I'm going to click OK. Okay, the Photoshop has processed it. Now I'm going to open Levels again after I just resampled it. And all the white lines are gone. So when Photoshop, you know, kind of moved the pixels around when I sampled it down, it basically filled in my white gaps for me. And I have now a nice tonal scale that runs from shadow detail all the way through highlights. I don't have any lines of missing information. I have a nice looking exposure, and it'd make a beautiful print. So if you're worried about it, when you make your levels adjustment, if you do have a little too much missing information, you know, you get those white lines in the middle of your mountain, try sampling down just a little bit and then take a look at your histogram again. This is pretty fun stuff, and I hope you play around with it. I think it's really a key to understanding exposure and to start to think about exposure in a very, scientific way. And knowing that whenever you look at a histogram, the dark tones are on the left side, the bright tones are on the right side, grayscale's in the middle, and that you can either make adjustments with your camera or later on in your image editor to get that information running through your whole shot, if indeed it should be. Remembering our example of both the snowy scene and the dark interior, where sometimes it's okay for it to be stacked to the right or to the left. In fact, it should be, because that's the kind of shot we shot. I hope this makes sense to you. If it doesn't, listen to the podcast again, right? And maybe even listen to it while you have your camera in front of you looking at the histogram. And you have your image editor open looking at the histogram. Listen to it again while you have these things open. And I think at least by the second time, it will start to make more sense. And then once you get it, like the light bulb goes on and you have it forever. And then I'll try to help in the show notes by providing some visual examples too. This is really great stuff. And if you want to keep the conversation going, or if you have further questions, just post comments to the show notes. I'll answer them right there so everyone can see, and keep the comments coming in general about what you want to talk about. Have a great start to your 2006. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. I got all sorts of great stuff planned, and I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Until then, happy shooting. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.